Whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. The world we live in is either you are in the Lord or not in the Lord. Either you're for God or you're against God. There is no halfway. If you are born again and living for God, then you're for God. If you're born again but not living for God, you are being used by the devil. And if you're not born again and not living for God and living in the world, you're of the devil. Jesus says you're in the world but not of the world. There is no halfway. Let me tell you, we are in a battlefield. Either one is living for God or one is not living for God. And any Christian who is not living for God is right now being used by the devil. Sadly, though they may be saved. You say, give me an example in the Bible. Matthew chapter 16. Peter, for a moment of time, after he confessed Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, in the next moment, prevent Jesus from going to the cross, and Jesus rebuked him and said, Satan, get behind me. Because Jesus recognized suddenly he was being influenced by Satan and hellfire. There is no halfway. We are either for God or not for God. We are either in the Lord or not in the Lord. And it's an awesome thing that we must realize. That is why we need the fear of God on our life. And I share this message as not so much in condemnation, but as a plea to live for God. Because none of us wants to experience hell, and none of us want to see others experience hell. You know, the only reason we are on this earth, after reading this book, Heaven and then Hell, one of the things that stirs me up is, I think we need to try to tell everyone about Jesus as much as we can. You don't want a single person to experience any of these things in this book. And there are a lot of good people who also went there. And in the book, I believe that Chunam is the name, right? She saw her mother went to hell. I think that must be a terrible thing. Her mother was a good mother, but did not know the Lord. Sacrificed for her, looked after her, but she did not know the Lord, and she ended there. When I read that book, I started looking around for tracks to live around to everywhere where I do my computer business work. Because I do not want my neighbor to come, end up in this place and say, I live next to Peter Tan, and he never told me about this place. And forever I will hear his cry and agony. In hell. And I came looking for tracks and I couldn't find any tracks. So our next project is to get thousands and thousands of tracks. And because most of us find it difficult to open and share the gospel, because you do not know at which point you want to bring it forth. Because you don't want people to be forced to hear you. And so the best start is a track. Leave a track behind. If they show interest, then you can talk more. If they say they're not interested, you know where they stand. But they cannot say you didn't try to warn them about this place called hell. You didn't try to warn them. And you tried to tell them about salvation. And it is a plea to Christians that it's time to humble ourselves constantly. Because humility can only be possible when we fear the Lord. The proud think in their minds they don't have to fear anything. Thus, they cannot humble themselves. Humility is tied to the fear of the Lord. And I'll close with a few scriptures, but again, I plead, if you're a Christian, you're not living your life 100% for God. First of all, I want to make us aware of the fact that I also sometimes question whether a person is born again if they don't want to live for God. I have the freedom to question that. Jesus has the freedom. Because why should we assume that a person is born again because they say the sinner's prayer? it's as safe to assume if they say the sinner's prayer and then went back to sin straight away and they still don't love Jesus, then obviously something is wrong. But secondly, we need to fear the Lord because you don't want to experience the fire of God as a believer. Not for one moment. My friends, not for one moment do you want to taste the wrath of God over your life. It is a terribly shameful thing to not live our life and only be saved by the skin of our teeth in heaven. With everything of your life burned out. In 1 Corinthians 2. Imagine you could have gone to God at the age of 70 or the age of 80 or 120. And when you reach the shores of heaven, every single thing that you've ever done in all your 120 years is burned up. It's as if you were just born a baby and saved. I tell you, that's the most miserable experience that one could ever have. Even you get into heaven, it's terrible. All your 120 years wasted. It could have been far better if you were just died a baby. It's a horrible thing. That is what 1 Corinthians 2 was like. Everything was burned up. Let's understand that we need the fear of God to humble ourselves before God. But I'd like to read a few scriptures as we close. And then we go a few things that we want to do. And the Bible talks about contriteness of heart and contriteness of spirit. In the book of Psalms 34, verse 18, it says, God saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Isaiah 57, verse 15, with him also that is of a contrite spirit. And of course, we know Isaiah 66, where God treasures those who are of a contrite heart and spirit, who tremble at his word. The word contrite in Psalms 34, 18 and Isaiah 57, verse 15 is taken from the Hebrew word dakka, D-A-K-K-A here, Romanized, dakka, which has been translated as bruise in the sense of affliction, bruise. Psalms 51, verse 17, a broken and a contrite heart, again mentioned. And then the one in Isaiah 66, verse 2. Him that is poor and of a contrite spirit is from the Hebrew word nake, N-A-K-E-H, which is a different Hebrew word for contrite. When I look at both Hebrew words, it brings an interesting point. Of course, you need further discussion. You can refer to Jim on those. He's an expert in Hebrew. But for the moment, as I look at the word bruise and the word nake, nake is translated two times in the Hebrew in the Old King James as lame, which is a strange translation. And it brings forth two facts on being of a contrite spirit. Because we also know in the Bible it says that a broken spirit dries the bones. So it's not talking about that area of broken spirit that dries the bones. So the closest you can find, possibly in the New Testament, is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it talks about the godly sorrow that produces repentance in 2 Corinthians. There are two types of sorrow. And chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So there's two types of sorrow. There's a brokenness that dries the bones, and then there's a brokenness that is yielding to God. I can only summarize from these words in parts of humbling ourselves is this. If the Hebrew word has a sense of the word lene or lame, which means you become dependent on something, that is on God. Then there is an aspect of where Being humble is learning to trust entirely upon God, dependent on God. And the other sense is, being humble is something on your inside needs to be bent. If I can use the word bent instead of the word bruise. And I believe it's called the I factor. All of us have an ego, an I within us. The I within us needs to be bent into a C, Christ. And humbling ourselves takes a few things. First of all, it takes the fear of God in our life. Then we realize, you know, all of us need discipline. As we are growing up as little children, we all need the rod of discipline. Because we were born with a sin nature. And people who have not experienced discipline, they grow up into criminals, rebellious, or those who rebel against discipline. Because something in their life is not broken yet. Crushed, bruised, bent. And they need that. And so humbling ourselves involves, number one, accepting the discipline of God on our life. Accepting the chastening of God in our life. Allowing God to bend us. Allowing the Word of God. Now, how does God bend us? God doesn't use sickness or disease or all the evil things. The Bible tells us that God chastens us by His Word. When His Word comes into our life, we tremble at His Word. So you allow the Word to chasten you. The Word becomes your disciplinary master. But how can the Word chasten and humble us unless you allow the Word into your life every day? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the Word of God that proceeds, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So every day you let the Word speak into your life. You let the Word correct you. The Word reprove you. The Word chastise you. The Word needs to come into our life like a hammer. The Word needs to come into our life like a sword in order for us to be humble. There is no humility without the force of God's Word. And there is no humility. And then when that is broken, then we become leaning upon God. Then the songs like leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms becomes possible because now you are 100% dependent on God. But you know why the Word of God is not like a hammer to people? Because the first point, they do not fear the Lord. When you begin to fear the Lord, even if God whispers to you, you tremble. I believe we need a glimpse of the judgment of God to understand this. And one of the elementary principles that are not taught to Christians is in Hebrews, the doctrine of judgment, which is considered among the elementary principles that were supposed to be taught. And some of the elementary principles that are mentioned in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, of the doctrines of baptism, of the doctrine of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. A lot of Christians are not taught about the judgment, and they don't fear God. There is a judgment for believers. There's a judgment for unbelievers. Let us fear the Lord. And Paul says, we should judge ourselves, lest we be judged. So if you allow God to judge you now, there's very little judgment to do. Because you have humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let the fear of God come back into our lives. Let the fear of God cause us to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. Let the Word of God chastise us, bruise us, bend us. Let the Word of God be our staff to lean on. 100% dependent on God.